from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Dan Devone is not just a person, he's an entity. He is in some cases omnipotent.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game Saturdays. I'm Jason Dumas, that's Dan Devone. We kind of got on a tangent talking about Team USA, and they open up play tomorrow. Team USA Hoops, that is, obviously. They open up play tomorrow, taking on the Joker. Things starting to get real. Kevin Durant apparently will be playing. He hasn't played yet. I don't think they need him, but obviously you want a guy like that on the floor when you can have him, when you potentially have him on the roster. You mentioned a guy they don't have on the roster right before the break, and it's such a head-scratcher. I would really like to know the real reason why. I mean, we can speculate all day, and I'm assuming we're about to do some speculation, but Jaylen Brown, the finals MVP, arguably, keyword arguably, because I know there's someone else on the roster who has a very good case too, but arguably the Celtics' best player is not on Team USA. Meanwhile,
Derek White is.
Three other players on his team, on his NBA team, are playing for Team USA in the finals MVP, and the guy who, in my opinion, is the best, most complete player on that team didn't make the cut. That's crazy.
Well, think about the finals, man. The minute the thing was done, he's the MVP. Where did all the cameras go? Who did all the interviews? It was JT. It was Jason Tatum. And this guy does so much for the community. All he does is put up. That was the year where he put it all together. I don't know why. There is very little love for this man.
Well, you can speculate, you know, and you see a lot of theories on Twitter. For one, he has publicly bashed Nike several times. Obviously, Nike has, you know, basketball all the way down to grassroots. You know the influence that Nike has on the sport.
AAU.
Yeah, starting at AAU, through high school, through college. Nike has a tremendous influence. And obviously, Nike is the main sponsor for the Olympics.
So, ooh, we're going there? A little conspiracy?
I mean, what I just said were facts about Nike. They have a huge influence. That is not, that's not a conspiracy. That's just a fact. Huge influence on basketball.
Yeah, but then they would have to have blown in Steve Kerr's ear, which I don't know if that would happen.
Well, I mean, look, you know this. You've been around to know the people who write the checks, they have influence, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. They might not have some CEO. Phil Knight might not be telling Steve Kerr who can and can't be on the team for like literally, but you know, they can be like, these are who we want to see kind of representing our team. Maybe there's a guy who they're saying, this is a guy we would prefer not represent our company, our brand on that stage. So that's one reason. I can't come up with any. No one can come up with a real reason why he's not on the roster. He's one of the best 12 American players. That's That's an undeniable fact. He's one of the best 12, right? I mean, I get it. You're trying to build a team and you want to get the best players. I get why Kyrie Irving, for instance, is not on the team. Kyrie Irving is a ball-dominant scorer who doesn't really play defense, not at a high level. You got scorers all up and down that roster. So I get why they would take a Halliburton and Jrue Holiday over Kyrie. Halliburton, team first passer, led the NBA in assists. He's going to set guys up. He doesn't need to shoot the ball to be effective. Jrue Holiday, cut your water off. He can guard people. He can affect the game without even touching a basketball. Kyrie Irving needs the basketball to be effective. I get why those two. Kyrie Irving might be better than them both, but I get why they pick him on a team aspect. Jaylen Brown, he doesn't need the basketball to be impactful. He guards. When he has the basketball, he can score. He can slash. There's no argument for him not being on that team. I just fail to see it.
I think the problem being...
Especially when Derek Wright's on the team.
I think that the moves like that are that they're trying to not necessarily compile the best stars, but the best team. And they don't necessarily go hand in hand. Like, you can have all the best players, but are you the best team? When we talk about how the world is closing the gap on the United States is because they have continuity and they played together. And what does that translate to? It means they understand what the other player is doing. It's that nuance. The United States always treats it as, well, let's just get the best players and demolish everybody. But it's those role players that you don't typically see at this level that oftentimes are the difference.
And I understand that. I genuinely do. I didn't have a huge issue with him not being on the original roster. Like Kawhi being on it over him. I genuinely didn't put up a fuss. Yeah, I get it. Should Jaylen be on the team? Probably, but I get it. It was when Kawhi got sent home and then they called Derek White. That's when I said, what is going on? Like, I agree with you, Dan. Like, the team aspect, putting together the best team, not necessarily the best players. I understand that. And I was like, all right, maybe, Jaylen didn't make it, whatever. But when Kawhi went home and you have someone who is like literally the same skill set as Kawhi, a wing who can score, who can defend, who doesn't necessarily need the ball to impact the game, and you go call his teammate, that didn't make no sense to me. It's not an indictment on Derek White either. Love his game. He's about to get paid. Great player. He doesn't do a thing better than Jaylen Brown. Maybe shoot the ball a little better, but Jaylen Brown, his jumper ain't broke. Like, there's no basketball reason. None. Something's going on there.
When you think about this team, let me ask you this, because this is one of the problems that has arisen early, is that when you have, again, superstars, somebody, you can only play five guys. So who's going to close when you have this many guys? Let me just read the roster to you, and you tell me who's the odd man left out. Bam Adebayo.
As a closing five?
As a closing five. Okay. Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, it's not there, Jason Tatum, and Tyrese Halliburton. But you see the issues here when everybody's like, no, I should be out there.
So, no. I mean, look, all these guys are going to have to buy in. I mean, that message has probably been sent from day one. If you're not going to buy in, go home. So I don't think anybody's going to be putting up a fuss if they're not closing. From everything I've heard like publicly what Steve Kerr has said, it seems to me that if all is going well, Steve is going to be pretty hell-bent on having these three players on the court at the end of games and in the beginning of games, too, starting. Joel Embiid, who I don't think has played all that great, but Joel Embiid, Steph Curry, and LeBron James. Now, obviously, if one of those three guys are, like, stinking it up, things might change. But if everything goes as expected or as Steve Kerr wants, those three will be on the court to start the game and to end the game. So essentially, it's two spots up for grabs. You would think Kevin Durant will have one of those spots if he's healthy and playing. And then maybe Ant Edwards. Like, I'm thinking Ant, Steph, KD, LeBron, and Embiid. I think that's the five that will be playing the beginning and ending minutes. Kevin Durant is a wild card because he hasn't really played he hasn't had game action, so they might try to ease him in. But once they start getting to the medal rounds, I think it's those five. But then I think Tatum is right there. Drew has played a lot more than I thought he would, but it makes sense because Drew is one of those guys. He's so impactful.
He's a winner.
He's just so impactful.
One in Milwaukee, one in Boston.
Devin Booker has played well. Bam. Then you got AD. I forgot about AD. They just have an embarrassment of riches.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, they just have an embarrassment of riches. But I think everyone's bought in. I don't think...
Well, and Edwards was chirping a little bit.
Yeah, I'm the best. Yeah. I mean, look, that's just who he is. And Edwards, same guy who said he could play three different sports professionally. Like, he's always going to say that. But I think he will. I mean, I think he will be on the court when it matters. He's just that guy. It'll be interesting. We actually have someone on the line. That's Brian in Hayward. He wants to talk about how business and sports intertwine. I'm assuming that applies to Jaylen Brown. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
thanks,
Brian,
for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
So, thanks. So, you know, I was listening to the conversation when it started about Nike and Jaylen Brown, et cetera, and what we've seen with Kyrie over the last few years. I just want to equate this to kind of making a stand. You know, realistically, you know, we'd all love to believe one man can make an impact. And realistically, we have to more than believe that a group of us or a majority of us can make a difference. But the reality of the matter is, and I hate to say it, that you don't defeat these companies. Whatever they want, they get.
100%.
They money talks, they write the checks. Only change can happen gradually over time so that we can get better over time. But no one athlete, no one man, no one individual is going to take a stand and change everything that's been going on for years and years. Unfortunately, this ugliness has made its way everywhere in life, including sports. I treasure sports as being a separate part of life that is emotional, but enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we have to witness or experience the corporations involving themselves in sports and the enjoyment of competitive athletics, it's disheartening, but it's a reality. And I knew from the beginning, once Jaylen Brown was drafted and he started playing, I knew a little bit about his history, being from Cal, ultra intelligent,
mm-hmm,
and very opinionated,
mm-hmm,
with what he believes in and what he stands for. I knew he wasn't going to be a star because of that. And I hate to say it, but realistically, I've been around long enough. I've seen athletes who keep their mouths shut and play, and they have successful careers. And then I've seen athletes who voice their opinions, and it's their right. Everybody, doesn't matter what job you have, if you feel comfortable to voice your opinion in the workplace or to your employer, you have a really good job. You have a really good job. But if you can't, doesn't matter if you're the richest player in NBA, in the NBA with the richest contract of all time. If you can't speak your mind, I don't care how much money you make. If you can't speak your mind to your employer and be free with your opinion, you don't have a good job. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking it.
Brian, I mean, he brought up so many good points. And, I mean, the main thing I took from that is the corporations, the companies, the people that write the checks, at the end of the day, they're going to get what they want. I mean, we just saw it in the political landscape. And we're not going to get into politics, but people wanted Joe Biden to step down for a multitude of reasons. He finally stepped down because those donors said, we're not writing a single another check ever. And they said, all right, go, time to go. People have been asking for that for months and months and months. Soon as those checks stopped coming, that man's putting out a statement. Same thing with this Jaylen Brown stuff. I believe it's because the people who write that number one donor, that number one advertiser, Nike, he was loud and proud questioning Nike. And like our guy said, Jaylen is very opinionated. People say protect the check. I say it myself. Let me shut up. Protect my paycheck. Jaylen Brown, he has job security. I mean, he's still really, really good at basketball. So, like, he has way more job security than I do. He can say things and Celtics ain't going to release him because they need him to win championships.
Second highest paid player in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, I Kron can replace me tomorrow. Kron, you know, might not be someone as talented as me in my opinion, but Kron will be okay. Jaylen Brown has 10 times more job security than I do. So he can probably fall on the sword and be like, whatever, it might sacrifice me playing for my country, but I mean, I'm still the second richest player in the NBA. So, you know, I mean, there's no basketball reason that he's not on that team. I think there's some basketball reasons that Kyrie Irving's not on that team. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory type thing with Kyrie. With Jaylen Brown, in my opinion, it clearly ain't basketball.
It's interesting. I really haven't given it much thought when you talk about Nike. But I guess when it comes to conspiracies, because people will always throw this out there, that the NFL, there's a conspiracy that they want certain teams to win a Super Bowl. Or the NBA, there's a conspiracy with the referees. And the NBA wants, you know, big coastal cities and big market teams to be in the finals or in relevant playoff games so they can get more money. That always sounds good to some people when you say it in sort of a larger vein. But when you start pulling back the layers and saying, okay, well, explain this to me. What specifically is happening here? Is somebody from Nike literally putting pressure on Steve Kerr? Because that's essentially what has to happen.
I don't know if it's Steve. I mean, or whoever it is. Steve Kerr, Grant Hill. Yeah, whoever the guy is.
Or is it so evident for whoever it is that's making these decisions that they know that they have to acquiesce, that they have to not necessarily piss off Nike. Maybe Nike doesn't have anything to do with it. Maybe they have something to do with it indirectly.
Well, listen to this. And like, I'll preface this with, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I am not. I'm a very practical person. I don't try to go down those rabbit holes and all. A lot of these people who do that are lunatics. But as I said, I could see why Jaylen Brown was not on the roster, the original roster. I could see why. I don't know if I would agree with it, but there was a very good argument why a guy like Kawhi is on it and Jaylen Brown isn't. I can see why. But once Kawhi dropped out and they had to add a player, I'm asking you this directly, Dan.
Yeah.
Is there any basketball reason to fill that spot with Derek White over Jaylen Brown?
No.
Yeah, it's like, so I, once you say no, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory anymore. I just think there's just a reason, and it's a non-basketball reason, because I don't think there is any arguable basketball reason why Derek White would be called before Jaylen Brown. It just makes no basketball sense. Of course Derek White is good. Of course they're probably going to win regardless of whether it was Jaylen Brown or Derek White. But if you're talking about basketball merit and putting together a team, makes no sense.
No, I agree with you. I guess I find it hard. I know Steve Kerr's a big fan of Jaylen Brown. And, I mean, Jaylen Brown's the guy's a poet, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And the guy went to Cal and didn't just go to Cal and not go to class.
He probably could have, like, I mean, from everything that's been reported, it seems like he could have gotten into Cal without basketball.
Yeah. And
like, he didn't even need basketball to get to qualify academically.
And he also really gives back to that community, not just.
And he's from isn't he from Atlanta too? I know. I remember he was.
I want to say DC area.
No, I think he's from Atlanta. I know he played his. I know he came. Listen, we can keep going, but I remember because it was during one of the Black Lives Matter marches. He was down there in Atlanta marching, and I could have sworn that was his hometown. Yeah, he's from Marietta, Georgia. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So yeah, he's from Atlanta. Smart kid. I mean.
No, a smart kid and a kid that also gives back.
Right.
Like, it's not one of those token, I'll write you a check or just let me do a little PR move here with my agent and do something good for the community. No, he really, behind the scenes, you know, he has got these relationships in the urban areas of Boston where you can tell that he gives a damn. So he checks off doing all the right things. The disrespect, which is sort of pervasive, not only is it relegated to the Olympics, but even again, the NBA Finals, and watching Jason Tatum take home all the glory, essentially, and be the first guy to be, and this isn't on Jason Tatum, I like Tatum as well, but to be front and center and basically taking all the glory and the victory lap for a championship that, again, Tatum did not play very well in the finals again and was saved. His bacon was saved by that of Jaylen Brown. But again, the aftermath of that is like all the commercials, all the marketing was focused on one guy, Jason Tatum, who's associated with finally winning that title. Jaylen Brown's been there the exact same time, side by side with that of Jason Tatum. Yet it seems to be the Jason Tatum basking in the glow following the finals and not Jaylen Brown. All this being removed from that of the Olympics.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier. And we'll get back to the Warriors in a second. I know we're kind of going on a tangent about non-Bay Area type stuff. But soon as they announced Jaylen Brown as the finals MVP, who did they pan over to?
Who was it?
Jason Tatum. To yeah. show his reaction. I actually live tweeted. I said, get the camera off Tatum, man. Don't try to start this. I mean, don't try to start this. Oh, man, Tatum is mad. He didn't get it. The directors, they're so predictable. But it's just interesting that Jaylen Brown is not on the roster. Now, that's somebody. Warriors able to get a guy like Jaylen Brown, they're right back in the mix.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
No, not at all. I mean,
I think if there's one team,
I hope this rips the Celtics apart. I hope Jaylen Brown's like,
oh no, they're going to be good. If there's one team that might be a dynasty in this day and age, which I'm sort of with Steph, that I think dynasties are sort of a thing of yesteryear, it could be the Celtics.
No, I hope Jaylen Brown get pissed that he wasn't on that Olympic team and starts getting jealous of his three teammates that come back with a gold medal.
No, but he's not wired like that. That's the problem, man. But they're good. A lot depends on Porzingis, but that's a team that I'm with you when it comes to Dallas, that I think that was just sort of a one-time play and sort of the outlier, and the stars were aligned for that team. I wouldn't bet on them getting back to the finals. I sure as hell would bet on Boston getting back there.
Yeah, so the Knicks got a little better with Mikal Bridges. The Sixers got a little better with Paul
Knicks
George.
Are gonna be dangerous.
Yeah, Bucks are just better because they're going to be healthy.
Bucks are they're garbage too.
No way, they're not garbage. I mean, look, they lost to the Pacers because they didn't have Dame or Giannis in multiple
Dame
games.
Ain't that guy anymore, and Middleton's older, and they got Giannis, and that's about it. And plus their head coach Doc Rivers, I'm out on him too.
They might not make the finals, but they're going to be right in the mix.
Well, that's because the East is weak.
I mean, look. Boston.
Pacers were in the finals this year, Eastern Conference Finals.
Only because the Bucks were hurt. The Bucks would have mollywopped Indiana if they had their team, But that's neither here or there. Let's go back to the phones. We got Mark in Millbrae. You know what? Mark's not quite ready yet. I'm jumping the gun over here, putting my producer down to the wire. We'll get to Mark in a second.
Stay in the Eastern Conference for a while and talk about your
Sixers?
Your Sixers.
Yeah, what about them?
What do you think? Because the reason why I can't get behind that team is the health of your man, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, look, on paper, damn good basketball team. Yeah. And I am excited to see it play out. My heart tells me, Paul George has never been the guy to get you over the hump. I mean,
I like him in that role, though.
He's a great player. Don't
but not as
wrong.
A number one. Not even as a number two.
He might
right
be
now.
A number three with Maxey and
Embiid. That's perfect with them.
So we'll see.
That's a good role.
See.
Like, I don't think he's a number one in the NBA anymore, quite frankly.
Right. All right. We're going to get to Mark after the break. We still have a little. So, Mark, hang tight. We are not forgetting about you. But, yeah, I like the Sixers roster. You just can't bet on Joel Embiid's health. So you get a Joel Embiid who may be like a shell of himself in the playoffs, which has kind of been the case for years now. That puts more pressure on Paul George. I don't love the way Paul George acts under pressure. So I just, if Boston goes into next year with the same roster and their health, I was just a betting man, I'd pick the Celtics to still beat anybody.
The Knicks are the only team that could challenge them.
I like that Knicks roster too. But that's this sports. That's why you love to see it. If over on the West, OKC got a lot better.
They're a year older, which is good for them.
You're older. They swap out.
And you're the Warriors. That's a bad thing because you're a year closer to your death.
They swap out. They swap out Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso. That's a nice upgrade.
Huge upgrade.
It's just an upgrade for the team. And I'm a fan of Giddey. I like his game. I think that everybody said the Bulls got fleeced. I don't think they got fleeced. I think the Bulls are in a position where they know they're not contending. I think they got a nice young player in Giddey who they can develop and make better. I think Giddey is a good player. He's just, he he didn't stretch the floor enough for that OKC team. His style just was not conducive in winning playoff games. I'm being told we need to go to break. Mark and Milbrae, we're going to get to you on the other side. That's Dan Devone. I'm Jason Dumas. 95.7 The Game Saturdays.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Back on 95.7 Saturdays, I'm Jason Dumas. That's Dan Devone. Man, 30 more minutes, Dan. We've hit on everything, but we right now knee-deep in Warriors talk, Team USA talk. Team USA starts their Olympic gold medal journey. I'm talking about men's hoop. Tomorrow, they play the Joker. It'll be a good game. They beat the brakes off them a couple weeks ago in a friendly. And I think this would probably go down as one of the biggest, for lack of better words, embarrassments if they come home without a gold medal.
I guess we can phrase it that way. But I think, again, everybody has to keep in mind how the rest of the world is closing in on the United States. Only because the game is just so much more universal than it once was.
And I agree with that. But I don't think, from a talent perspective, I don't really think they're closing in that much. Like, I mean, Team USA has like 12 NBA All-Stars, pretty much. No other team has that much talent. It's not even close, I don't believe. So, look, we're talking about a team that Jaylen Brown isn't even on. NBA Finals MVP. Kyrie Irving couldn't even make the cut. Kawhi Leonard gets sent home. Injury, of course, obviously. But
I agree with you. But how many NBA players does South Sudan have, is my point.
Yeah, that's true. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. No, they should definitely.
And I don't want that to like sound like an insult to the guys on South Sudan. Great story, great team. They're really developing, but come on, man. What are we talking about? Come on. Like, we don't have to lie to like not to coddle people's feelings. That shouldn't have been a close game.
I don't mean to sound unpatriotic, but was I the only guy that was pulling for South Sudan?
I was pulling for Team USA, but I wouldn't think that makes you unpatriotic. It's not that deep. You just...
It was an exhibition game.
You're rooting for the underdog. Let's go out to Mark in Millbrae. He's been on the line waiting. Mark wants to talk Warriors, Jaylen Brown talk. What did I start?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Hey, so starting with Jaylen Brown. Guys, to me, it's not really conspiracy theory. I think Windhorst explained it perfectly well. They really didn't have another defensive point guard, and FIBA game obviously is a lot different. And where they struggled in some of these closer games, the previous Olympics, was not having elite defensive type point guard. And outside of Drew Holiday, the best defensive point guard who doesn't really need to score is Derek White. So I think that's why they made the decision.
I just respectfully disagree with that. I don't mean to cut you off, Mark. Jaylen Brown is an all-NBA type defender, too. He can guard point guards. Like, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
The front court, and it's loaded. And I think they're so loaded on front court that he's got to be the odd man out. When you got an elite team of players, not everybody's going to make it. Now, if Kevin Durant and his castrating dropped out and they pass up for somebody else, then all this conspiracy and nonsense about Nike could hold court, though. But since KD decided to go ahead and is going to play, and he's got to be the odd man out. And I think Derek White is a perfect fit for the international game. And, guys, he's been on the previous FIBA team. I don't think Nike's really too concerned about Jaylen Brown. They're the biggest global apparel company in the world. They have all of the top NBA players. They have all the top athletes from every sport around the world. So I don't really think they're really concerned about what Jaylen Brown thinks about them. And one thing on the Warriors, guys, I'm really excited about this offseason. I really didn't think they'd do anything. I think they upgraded. They may not be superstar names, but I think what you guys need is to get younger and depth. I think Melton is an excellent player. I think William from the T-Wolves, he was one of the reasons why they made this the West Conference elite defensive-type player. And I think Buddy Hield, guys, he's playing for a new contract, and we know since he entered the league, besides Curry, he's made the most three-point shots. So he's not Clay, but I think he's a younger, and I think he's looking still to get that next huge payday. So we know he's going to ball out. So when you look at top to bottom and the rest of the West got weaker, for the most part, outside of OKC, I really like where the Warriors are, guys. And barring Draymond doing something dumb again, which he better not, I think they're going to be a top 4 or 5 seed in the West contending next year. What are your thoughts on that? Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Mark. I'll tell you this. I love the optimism. Starting with the Warriors point, I love the optimism. We need that optimism, especially on the back end of our show. You're probably higher on them than I am. I do think they got better, marginally, though. I don't think they got better to the point where it's going to make a huge difference in the standings. Like I said, they were 10 last year. That might make them 7, maybe even 6. But even at 6, it's probably a uphill battle. Granted, the Mavs were 5, but they've got better. That's all you can ask for. Hopefully they aren't done. Quick mention, because we've probably spent more time on it than we need. I think people are kind of doing hula hoops trying to justify Derek White being on the team over Jaylen Brown. Makes no sense. I know he said they needed a defensive point guard. Jaylen Brown can guard the point guards. And also, He replaced Kawhi Leonard. It's not like he replaced another point guard. Like, Kawhi Leonard was supposed to be on the team. Jaylen Brown is more in the mold of a Kawhi Leonard than Derek White is. But that's neither here or there. Some people are going to have a different opinion than me. I get it. But I do think the Warriors got better from last year. Do I think it's enough as currently it stands that's really going to move the needle to the point where Warriors fans are used to them competing for championships? No, I don't.
Now, this roster currently constructed doesn't make a lot of sense unless you're doing what it is that I strongly suggest, which is a reset, a step back, leaning in on the youth, getting your hands around the money, and then just sort of being not relevant for the next couple of years, and then identifying that next core, the next generation that's going to make you a Western Conference title contender. That's what I think is the wise move, and that's what I think that they should embrace, and I think that's what they're headed. This is a team that has so many moving parts. to your point, maybe they do surprise people, but a lot of that is predicated on just how big of a step is Jonathan Kuminga going to take. Is Kuminga finally ready to be a star in this league consistently? Andrew Wiggins, again, we did a whole show about the Warriors and didn't even mention his name. I don't know where the hell he's at.
Respectfully, what's there to talk about?
Well, is there? Yeah, I'm with you, but is there a chance that? And we keep doing this to death. I firmly believe that they just simply couldn't move off on him, and it's just like, okay, we're stuck with you. But with that being said, do we hold out any hope that he could return to being that guy he was 2 years ago in the NBA Finals?
In other words, was an anomaly, though.
If Kuminga takes a step, if Wiggins can be the two-way player he was 2 years ago, and then you have some of these younger pieces take significant steps in the right direction, whether it's TJD and Brandon Pajemski. I mean, maybe there's something there. But on paper, this is a team, again, that's looking at maybe 5 to 11. If you were to tell me they were the 5 seed or the 6 seed, I'd say, okay, I could see that. If you were to tell me they were the 11th seed, I could say, yeah, that makes sense as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. As it pertains to Andrew Wiggins, he has been, for the totality of his career, for the most of it, I should say, instead of maybe totality, for the most of his career, he's been a guy who leaves a lot of meat on the bones.
Yeah.
It's just something's not there. It's like, bro, you should be much better. You should be shooting the ball better. You should shoot free throws better. You need to be more engaged on defense. You need to be more engaged and assertive on offense. He's been that guy for most of his career. The year they won the championship, that is an anomaly.
Yeah.
So to ask him to revert to an anomaly, people usually don't. Like, he did it once, and he won a championship, and Warriors fans should be grateful for that. The last 2 years is closer to the norm. It just is.
That's who he is.
Which
is funny, because when he was at Minnesota, what did we all do? We immediately gave Minnesota and their franchise, which clearly isn't what it is now. This is a team that was in the lottery every year. They weren't good. But immediately, Warrior fans said, oh, that's because you were in Minnesota. Come to the Warriors.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the number one. You don't even have to be a number two. That's going to be Clay. You could be the number three guy. This is a perfect fit for you. We're going to bring you out because you were in a crappy organization in Minnesota.
Poorly run.
Come to the Warriors. And he has some good seasons. But essentially, now that it's played out over a couple of years, he's the same cat in Minnesota. That's who he is.
That's what I'm saying. The Warriors should be grateful that they were able to squeeze that out of him the year they won it all. I mean, like, when Andrew Wiggins' tenure in Golden State comes to an end, whenever that might be, I think it should be looked at fondly. He helped them win an NBA championship. Yeah, the totality of it, do you wish he could have produced more? Do you wish he could have extended that championship year into multiple performances like that? Of course you do, but he's just being the player he always was.
That's who he is. I think he's sort of an enigma as a person.
Yeah, you know, like, that's just who he is. So at the end of the day, you were able to maximize who he was. Yeah. You got a championship out of him. It's not even an insult. Everybody is who they are. Like, that's just who Andrew Wiggins is as a player. Expecting more is unfair to him, is unfair to us. Like, it's just delusion. He is who he is.
Just think about this. If we were doing this show in Minnesota, or if there are people that were doing, whether it's a podcast, whether it's sports talk radio in Minnesota, they got the number one player in the draft, right? He was traded from Cleveland for Kevin mm-hmm. Love. There was all this level of excitement, as there always is when you get the top player in an NBA draft.
It was him, then Jabari Parker, and then Embiid.
Yes. And so there was all this level of excitement.
He's the only one with a chip.
And he was underwhelming in Minnesota. Yeah, and so when he went to the Warriors, this is the exact same sentiment. They're like, look, you don't have to believe us, but this is a guy that we were really high on and did some really exciting things. But for the most part, he's lethargic. There's just this, there's a tease. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not. And we all poo-pooed that, saying, Minnesota, you don't know what the hell it is that you're talking about. You're up there in the Pacific Northwest. You know, it's 85 below.
Not even Pacific Northwest. They're just in dead center of the country.
You don't know hoops. We do. This is California. This is the Warriors. We just fleeced you. We just got Andrew Wiggins, and you got D'Angelo Russell, man. Like, we know what's going on. And I think Warriors fans now, after seeing the body work, would basically hold hands with Minnesota. And collectively, all of us can say, Minnesota included, that You're right. This is who the dude is. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, and sometimes disappears altogether.
And, I mean, the Warriors can still say they won that trade, and Dub Nation can still laugh at Minnesota fans because the good was better than the good ever was in Minneapolis. Andrew Wiggins was arguably the second best player on a championship team. He helped bring a championship. He was unreal that postseason, guarding the best players. Like, he gave Luka hell that series defensively, dunked on him, put him on the rim. He was amazing on the boards against Minnesota. I mean, not Minnesota, against Boston. Getting offensive rebounds, getting defensive rebounds. Like, he played at a level he had never played. So, at the end of the day, hang on to that. Look at him as a guy who helped win you a championship and move on. If he's on the team this year, great. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy who's probably going to average about 14 to 16 points per game.
And you're on Pajemskin. I was asking about the two spot. Any chance he's your two guard?
Who, Wiggins?
Yeah.
No, Wiggins will probably be your starting three guard. Maybe it'll be Kuminga. Wiggins might actually be like your first guy on the bench. Now, it's going to be, we know it's going to be Steph and Draymond. I think it's going to be Pajemski. Probably Trayce Jackson-Davis.
No, he's your starting center.
Yeah, Trayce, Dre. And so that last spot is either Kuminga or Wiggins, most likely. One of those two. So I think you got to start Kuminga, just given, like, he's a guy you might lose if you start bringing him off the bench again. Like, he's such a budding player in his career, and he cares about that stuff.
Who's this?
Kuminga. He cares about that stuff.
Oh, Kuminga's going to start.
Yeah, so is Wiggins. Wiggins is your sixth man.
If he doesn't get the two spot. Okay.
No, he ain't going to be your starting two.
Because I think that if you go into camp, I would say that there's, four guys? So maybe five. If it's Pajemski, Moody, Wiggins, or De'Anthony Melton are the four guys that I'm like, okay, let's see
two?
What you got. For the two, yeah.
It was Pajemski. Wiggins isn't a two. He's not going to play the two. And they're not going to have him at the two. He's a small forward. He's not your two. Wiggins, the biggest enigma with Wiggins, why is he such a bad free throw shooter?
Not always, though.
No, he's terrible. Yeah. Go look at his career free throw percentage. It's not good. It's not as good as someone it should be.
Well, he's not necessarily a very good outside shooter, though. Is he?
How do you feel? If I remember correctly, we were very polar opposites on this player. How do you feel about Moody?
Yeah, he's really difficult to sort of handicap. I think he has an upside. I'm maybe not as high on him as some. I think he's a serviceable player. But if at the end of the day, someone was to tell me, fast forward and 5 years from now, just say that, yeah, he's just a dude. I could see that as well. There's a lot of things to get excited about, but there are other times when, he just looks like, just an average basketball player.
Yeah, no, so I'm opposite. I think he's great. I think the Warriors have done him a disservice. I think he's deserved more playing time, more of an opportunity to show what type of player he really is. I think he should have been a mainstay in the rotation, but that was one of the Warriors' issues last year. They had so many guys to try to get playing time, and none of them were really standing out. I don't know. I'm not in those practices every day, too, so I don't want to completely, act like
so
I know
he can
more.
Be your number two.
He absolutely could be my number two, but I mean, I'm just going by what Steve Kerr is going to do. Like, my opinion means nothing, but yeah, Moses.
So Wiggins is a career 72% free throw shooter.
Yeah, that's not good for a starting three.
But he's not necessarily a good.
And like last year, I think he was closer to he was low 60s, if I believe it, if I'm not mistaken. You got to be up by 80%.
He was at 62 in 23 last year.
62 is terrible.
Yeah, he was at 75 last year.
62 is terrible. Yeah. For your starting three to be a 62% free throw shooter?
Well, career 72, so yeah.
That's like a center. Anyway, Moses Moody is the type of guy to me, if he gets roped in a trade and goes somewhere else, he's going to be one of those guys that's like, damn, why didn't the Warriors give him more of an opportunity? He's going to go somewhere and average 17 points per game.
Ooh.
I know I'm in the minority to the point of how high I am on him. I think he's a really good player. He just needs reps, and he needs somebody who believes in him. I'm not sure it's the Warriors who believe in him to that point.
See, I wouldn't have an issue if that's true, because then this is, again, what you can do if you rebuild, reset, whatever it is that you want to, whatever it is that you want to call it. If you lean in on the youth, you could start him at a two, knowing that, listen, we're not privately knowing that you're not going anywhere. You're not contending for a Western Conference title, nor are you going to the NBA Finals. But we can identify finally who Moody is.
Yeah.
We can find out who Kuminga is. You could lean in on the youth and accelerate their growth, or let them play through mistakes, and or find out that Moody isn't that guy, and we can all end what has been sort of this question around the guy and dividing the room, half the people thinking he's good, the other half thinking he's not. Like, you can answer a lot of these questions when you get into this so-called rebuild mode. And the reason why I like Pajemski off the bench is I think your backcourt, just for whatever reason, seems really sort of small when it's him and Steph Curry. But you need someone who's going to be impactful and a leader coming off the bench. That was CP3 a year ago. And I think Pajemski, when he comes in to relieve Steph or whomever, now you feel as though you have, even though he's a young guy, you've got someone who is sort of captain-esque on the floor in your second unit. And that has a high value as well.
100%. And we're going to keep this conversation going. Let's go to Pete out in San Ramon. He has an outlook on the starting roster this offseason. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know how long before the first preseason game training camp practice goes on, but what I'd like to see for, like, the first three preseason games is Steph and all four of those guys. Steph, Pods, Moses at the three, Kuminga, and Trace Jackson-Davis, and play a bunch of time together. And just see what happens. And if it flames out during the preseason, you got all those other guys over there waiting. That's what I think. I'm high on Moses, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete. Pete wants to use the preseason to really get a bar. Essentially, he wants Steve Kerr to do a lot of tinkering in the preseason. That's essentially what Steve Kerr has been doing for this Olympic team during the exhibition games. I think they had a different starting five every single exhibition game. Look, you got, you know,
I don't know if it's tinkering so much as just going with the youth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, true. I mean, who did he mention? Moody, Pajemski, Kuminga, Trace Jackson-Davis, Steph, Draymond. You know, we'll see. I mean, I think,
actually, I wouldn't have an issue with that at all.
Yeah, yeah, neither would I. Neither would I. And even we go to our text line. Last comment was a minute ago, I want Moses Moody to start. So maybe I'm not alone in the fact that Moses...
Oh, no, there's Moses Moody believers out there.
Yeah.
Rest assured.
100%. What do you... You know, we got about 5-6 minutes left. I got to ask you this. When it comes to the hierarchy of that Team USA roster, is it LeBron and Steph and then everyone else? Like, just in terms of the influence and the voices...
I think it's LeBron. People,
it's just LeBron, yeah. And then everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw LeBron called a meeting right after a game, an impromptu meeting.
And at, like, center court, right?
I'm not sure where it was. And I remember Steph was joking with some people, and then there was somebody else. I want to say it was Jason Tatum that they had sort of wandered off after the game, and they saw that the meeting was going on and that LeBron was holding it. They turn and sprint it
right
back to that huddle.
Yeah.
And that shows you that I think behind the scenes, he's the dude. I think he's still, you know...
Yeah,
he's the guy. He's still the leader, man.
Yeah,
but you know what's interesting?
And Steph is, as influential as Steph is, he's a rookie to this. This is his first Olympics. This is his very first Olympics.
Hey, I wanted to jump in real quick about the roster you guys are talking about. No, you haven't mentioned Kevon Looney, and I know he's getting up there in age.
What's there to say?
Well, it's interesting because I'm just looking now. Jeremy Brenner
about Kevon.
From Sports Illustrated, he just put out an article saying that the Knicks could be interested in trading for him. Not saying that the Knicks are, but in the second half of the season, could be interested in trading for him, you know, to fill that Isaiah Hartenstein role.
Yes. All right, go ahead.
And Precious Achiuwa would be on the block if it need be. I like Precious Achiuwa as a Knicks fan.
Oh, no, they're not going to give up Precious Achiuwa for it.
That's what the speculation would be.
They get some
and he's a gamer,
picks.
Too. To back up, to be on that on the bench coming off for TJD, I wouldn't mind that if I'm a Warrior fan.
I think that...
Kevon Looney, he's good backup center at this point in his career, but he's, I mean...
Actually, just getting back to Nick's talk there, King, because I know I can do this with you. It's going to be Walker Kessler, I hope, at least, that's the guy that
they want. Really good in camp, summer league.
Yeah, you can get Kessler for, losing Hartenstein, which hurts. But, the one thing I wanted to say about just LeBron James, we talked about him a minute ago. I think the Lakers are really similar to that of the Warriors. Like, LeBron James, you could say the same thing for him, could you not? Like, hey, these are your final years. Let's win you a title, LeBron. It's not happening in L.A. But LeBron is so ensconced in L.A. where he's got his production company. He ain't leaving L.A. There's no way in hell he's leaving Los Angeles. The dude's in Brentwood doing Taco Tuesdays at the pool. He ain't going anywhere. And I think to a certain degree the same could be said about Steph.
Yeah, well, here's the thing with LeBron. Before this offseason, I thought the Lakers were way closer than the Warriors, but I just hated the Lakers offseason. I hated the Bronny second round pick. First round pick was cool, but they whiffed on a bunch of guys who they wanted.
Connect's going to be good at it.
Yeah, Connect, whatever. He's a rookie. He's not going to be playing big time minutes for a team that is a meaningful basketball team, and the Lakers might not be a meaningful basketball team this year, but they whiffed on Paul George was a possibility to come over there. DeMar DeRozan was a possibility to come over there. There's another name that's just
James Harden was talked about.
Yeah, so I don't think I think the Lakers got worse, and
they're like the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think LeBron wants to win, of course, but I think he also...
But can you see LeBron getting up and saying, you haven't done enough. I'm going to New York, or I'm going to, Philadelphia. Well,
Joe Lacob inquired about it.
Yeah, but my point being is that when you get to a certain point and you've made this much money, I know you want to win titles. LeBron likes L.A. and Steph likes San Francisco.
And both of their legacies are solidified. Obviously, if LeBron gets another, maybe that puts him over Jordan. If Steph gets another, maybe people are like, oh, he's over Magic. But at the end of the day, I don't think they're overly concerned about that. I think they're very comfortable in how they're viewed and their legacy.
What if Klay gets one more than Steph?
Oof. If Klay got a championship next year, that would be a tough pill for a lot of Warriors fans. It would 100% be a tough pill for a lot of Warriors fans. All right, about a minute left. One lasting thought on the Warriors offseason, Dan, and where they are right now.
I think I've said this all along, that this is a team that could be anywhere from 5 to 11 in the Western Conference standings. If they're the 11th seed, wouldn't be surprised. If they sneak into the playoffs and steal around a series, I wouldn't be surprised at that either. There's a lot of moving parts. Kuminga, the number two spot that we've talked about. What sort of step has Pajemski taken in Trayce Jackson-Davis? But as far as returning to the winner's circle in NBA titles and championships, uh-uh. But at the same time, this is the right path to take.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the Warriors have had a nice offseason, but if they want to get back to competing for championships, they need more than a nice offseason. They need a home run offseason.
Please don't say Lauri Markkanen. You're not down with that, are you?
It just depends what they ask for.
I think what they're asking for is Danny Ainge.
If it's both Pajemski and Kuminga, I'm out. Right. But if it's only one of the two, come on, Lowry. Come on. I think he could be a difference maker on this team. Look, Devone, it's been fun, man. Appreciate you rapping with me. That's Dan Devone. I'm Jason Dumas, our producer in the booth, killing it as always. 95.7 The Game Saturdays. Y'all have a great weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.